Hi, everyone, and welcome to our course on shipping your Office 365 app to the Office Store. My name is Scott Hillier, and I'm here with Jim Epps. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Scott?
Good. Thanks. And we're going to be your hosts for the next five modules throughout this course talking about this topic. Before we get started, let's take a moment to introduce ourselves. So, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm the Senior Product Marketing Manager for the Office Store, so I really worry about getting apps into the store, making sure they're merchandised appropriately, and really trying to light that channel up. So I'm the guy that essentially is on the marketing side. I'm the sizzle on the steak. Scott is more the steak itself in terms of the developer story.
Great, thanks. Well, just a couple minutes about myself then before we get rolling. My name is Scott Hillier. I'm an Office 365 MVP. So I'm here with Jim because I've done a lot of development of Office apps really over the years in a lot of different forms. Just a little background here. I'm a developer, of course, also a speaker, author, and trainer. Written a lot of different books on Microsoft technologies, done a lot of development over the years. You can find me speaking at conferences like the SharePoint conference or training for Critical Path training. And I'm also a community lead for IT Unity, which is a site we have that puts forth a lot of developer and IT information about Office 365 products, the platform, and how to get things going. So I'll be providing some of the color commentary during our modules, as Jim is going to be our primary lead through the materials. So let's go ahead and throw it back over to you, Jim, and tell us what we're going to learn in this module.
Sure. Well, module one is really about the why of the store. It's more of the business value proposition. Why would a developer care about building for the store? What are some of the ways that you can use the Office platform to reach customers? Also, we'll look very briefly at the kinds of apps you can build for the store. If you're building apps, you already are fairly familiar with the app model, but maybe you're not. And also, we'll look a bit ahead as well in terms of what the store will be able to do in the near future. We're constantly evolving the store model and improving it, and there's some pretty exciting things coming down the pike in the next couple of quarters. At the very end, if we have time, we'll walk through a store demo. We'll show you some of the entry points to the store in product as well as over the web and through the office.com browse experience. And then at the end, as for all MVA modules, we'll have the listing of resources that you can go to for further information. So, the overview. Why build for the Office Store? Well, it's a pretty huge opportunity. The Office ecosystem worldwide, there's over a billion users working in Office every single day. And they're spending 2 to 3 hours on average in terms of information workers in that experience. And then, of course, you add mobile devices. We're heading towards 2 billion smartphones by the year 2018. It's going to be an enormous market where, and we now have the app model to the point where you can build once and deploy to a mobile device as well. And we now have APIs where you can also dive into Office 365, our tenant-level solution. And there's over 450 petabytes of data stored in those many millions of tenancies around the world. And that's a really rich set of data that your APIs for your app can plumb into and improve the value of your solution. Now, we've been on quite a technology journey. And if you've been on the Office platform for a while, you'll know this. But just to quickly review, back in the Stone Ages in the 1990s, it was really about on-premise. It was fairly simple. VBA code was kind of the rule of the day. Moving into the 2000s, you had the servers went through multiple evolutions, and we added additional tooling like COM add-ins, Visto, and Full Trust Code, the .NET platform as well, of course. And more recently, we've been moving much more to open standards, the ability to use non-Microsoft technologies, web standard technologies, APIs, protocols, and SDKs for mobile devices like Android and Apple. So it's been a pretty interesting evolution, and we're really now just hitting our stride in terms of opening up the platform to additional development. So Office 365, we hope the impression we're leaving you with is it's really a rich platform. It's big, and it's increasingly more open to new development standards. The app model, What's the benefits? Well, because it runs outside of the office environment, but there's still clear security boundaries. It's safe, and we have modern APIs, so you can run apps in the cloud. It's a cloud app model, but then again, access the office experience through those APIs. It's device friendly. They run both in the full office client as well as native apps for the tablet and the phone, and we now have SDKs as well for iPad, Android. You may have heard we just released a free version of the Office app for iOS, which has not only read but also edit capabilities, and so the Office app model works on that as well. And now the Office web apps, the free apps that millions, billions of people really can access worldwide, also now embrace and encompass the model. And then, as I've mentioned, we have an increasing array of APIs, flexible tools, such that you don't actually necessarily even have to be building in the Office experience or using the Office platform, Visual Studio, et cetera, .NET, and you can still leverage the data inside an Office application. So here's the vision, or here's what's new, I should say. We want to, in effect, allow every one of our products to be surfaced within the same experience and be extensible. And that not only our products, but also third-party products. The My Apps is the new thing. So in the Office 365 tenancy, you can have third-party solutions such as yours, which can be made visible and become first-class citizens in the Office 365 experience. So extensibility across all of our different product types in Office as well. APIs that really now are abstracted away from an individual workload like SharePoint or Excel or Exchange and really run across the whole Office 365 tenancy. So at TechEd Europe at the end of September, we announced these five APIs, and there's many more coming. And then finally, building on an open platform. Of course, we support Azure.NET, but we also you can support the ability now. We have native SDKs for Android and Apple, as well as you can build cross-platform. You can port your C# code to a mobile solution using Xamarin, or build pure web applications for mobile devices using Apache Cordova. So it's been quite a journey. Where we want to get to, the vision is to basically more of the same. And so we want to increase the number of applications that this works for. If you can see, we also have the ability to, we want to increase the number of APIs, essentially an API for everything, and then continue to evolve the app model where there's more external types of platforms that people can build on, whether it's PHP or Ruby on Rails or Node.js, and store your data really anywhere. It doesn't have to be in Azure. It could be in Heroku, it could be Amazon, et cetera. So Scott, I'm wondering, you've been developing on this platform for a long time. Of these things we've been talking about, the APIs, the extensibility, what particularly in your daily work is of most interest to you?
Well, I think the thing for me is I have been developing for a long time in this, and on that vision slide that you presented and the little history there, I've probably done every single one of those types of development over the years. So I've really seen this evolution. And to me, the most exciting thing about where we're going is the idea that we're going to be able to get to everything using the same kinds of patterns over and over again. So the idea that I can use a RESTful service to get to vastly different kinds of data, but not just Microsoft data, not just things that are in Office 365, but that's the same pattern that everyone's using on the internet. So what happens is now is that I've got a standard set of skills that I can use to access Microsoft technologies, non-Microsoft technologies, and pull them together in a way that allows me to do new and interesting things. And really, that's what the internet's all about, right? If we look at anything that's happening on the internet, it's really about being able to pull together disparate technologies, apps that were written by folks that you don't know and maybe don't trust, but in a way that allows you to create something that is trusted and that can perform functions that were difficult to achieve without that type of synergy. So I'm pretty excited about it, Jim.
That's great. That's great to hear. So this is the vision. You can expect to see announcements along these fronts pretty much every quarter going forward. The rapid release and iteration is very much the pattern these days. So a bit more about leveraging the Office platform all up. And this is really not so much focused only on the store. The store is a piece of it, but what we're really trying to do is create an app model where you can extend, you know, use the extensibility of the overall platform, and you can opt to use the store as part of that, and so we certainly hope you do. I'm the store guy, so I would love to see you do that. But the idea is that you don't have to necessarily use the store, but the extensibility of the platform itself is so powerful. So the idea, it's pretty simple. You take our various entry points, whether it's apps for Office, SharePoint, and now the My Apps, which is really the tenant level Office 365 approach. So you take any of our platform surface areas, you build your solutions on top of that, and then you reach customers worldwide. And we'll show you just how big that market is in just a second. How do you do that? Well, if you're an ISV, the store is really your story. It's about building an app and, you know, build once and sell many times. That's the essential idea of the store. It's not so much custom development, which, you know, you give away or you transfer the IP. You're licensing it through the store. However, it's also for system integrators and also internal IT departments at corporations that want to be able to build line of business apps, say an HR app or a travel approval app or something, you know, internal intranet site. Those are the kinds of solutions we also want to enable on the platform, and the app model does support that. So it's really both for apps for sale as well as apps you're going to build and deploy internally. So tell me a bit about your experience building LOB apps, Scott.
Well, the platform itself has always been great for building line of business applications. And in fact, if you come from the place that I've been, which is the last 10 years inside the SharePoint community, that's what we were really doing, is building line of business applications on the SharePoint platform. So as we move into the Office 365, into more of that new vision, I don't see the demand for that type of thing going away. We still need to do it. I still get requests for that. So it's important that the platform allow us to do that type of thing, and it surely does. So I dabble a little bit in the store. I have a couple things going on in the store. Spend a lot of my time on the system integration side as well. And really, to me, both of those stories are very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very much true. Although the store is my area of focus, by no means do we think that's the primary or certainly not the only place where people will sell. The idea of packaging up solutions and selling them through a store is especially in the productivity space. You know, consumer with the Apple model and other consumer types of stores is fairly well established. Buying enterprise types of solutions through a store is a newer concept, and some people get it, some people don't, and there will always be a place for line of business apps, so we also want to, as you said, want to continue to enable that.
Yeah, I was just talking with some colleagues about, you know, sort of a vision that someday in the future you could be, you know, a dentist that just graduated from dental school. You get yourself a couple of hygienists and, you know, you have your location, and then you open up your Windows application, and you go get from the store your dental app that now runs your entire business for you, because you understand that the scope of that well enough to say this is what a new dentist is probably going to need, and they can just buy that directly from the store. So I think the vision of where we're going is a pretty exciting one. We've got a few steps to go to get there, but that's the kind of thing to me that I could see in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. The app story is very early in its new iteration. And as we have more and more solutions that fill in the gaps, we can begin to daisy chain these apps together so that you can actually package up a set of apps and have a full solution in effect create a custom solution by bolting together two or three prepackaged solutions. So that's where I think where we want to get. The app story is very early days. So if you are an ISV, though, and you do want to sell your solutions, there are two ways to do that. You can use the store, and we'll talk about that in a second in quite a bit more detail. You can also use an app catalog, which means you're not transacting through the store. You're building an app. You're loading it to a SharePoint site, and you are handling the commerce, if there is any, on your end, and then they're provisioned directly into the SharePoint environment, and then the admin, the site administrator, or the farm administrator can then distribute them to their users. How this works from a distribution standpoint is if you sell through the app catalog motion, You are going directly to the customer. You can negotiate any kind of custom deal you want. And then, again, you provision it into the app catalog for administration and license assignment. If instead you want to sell through the store, we have a whole value chain there where you sign up for a seller dashboard account. The app is validated through a curated process by our team, and it's quite robust, actually. And then it's housed in the office store where we can provide commerce services, but we also can provide free and trial types of solutions, and we think actually that's a very attractive place to focus, and we'll be talking about that in Module 5 at length. We'll actually be showing you a classic trial app to really get people to upsell people to a full paid solution. And then it can be launched. The other benefit is by having it in the office store, those apps can then be exposed in client through the ribbon or in your SharePoint system. There's a SharePoint store within the SharePoint environment. Excuse me. What does a corporate catalog angle get you? Well, again, you can, by setting up all your apps within an app catalog, you can essentially, as an IT admin, define what are the apps that you're comfortable having your employees have access to. You essentially create a library of apps that you can either say, hey, come and get it, it's a self-serve, or you can push them out. You can manage them centrally. You can prevent employees from going rogue and going off and acquiring their own apps that may, in fact, not really sit well with your environment. And then you can directly deploy to employees. So that is one option that many companies like to use. But if you want to use a store, again, we have an entire infrastructure set up to service that. So we have some statistics here that I think are pretty interesting. We've only been at it really for 2 years in the office store. We formally launched in January of 2013. And in that time, we've had 7 million app downloads. Now, some of our competitor stores took them 3-4 years to get to 1 million downloads. So we're actually doing pretty well. We're getting more than 350 app submissions a month. That may not be unique apps. It may be V2 or a localized version of a US English application, but we're still getting, the traffic is pretty strong. And we're also getting, we've got the validation time down to about 1.3 days. So when you do submit it, although there's a quite extensive list of things we check to make sure the app is of high quality, the turnaround time has been shaved down to just a bit over a day. We now have over 1,200 apps in the store and almost 1,000 developers who are actively submitting solutions. And we have some pretty big names like Wikipedia, PayPal, Nintex, DocuSign, some of the leading productivity app providers that deliver over the cloud. And the store in its genesis did focus to some extent on easy to use solutions for individual users. But we now, if you look at the chart, in the statistics, more than half the apps in the store are SharePoint apps. And that's very much about a collaboration, organizational type of solution. So we're really pivoting very strongly to business-focused apps in the store. In terms of our global distribution, we have a pretty good story to tell here as well. By the end of January, we hope to be live with 60 storefronts in 41 supported languages, pretty much everywhere that office.com itself is localized and operating worldwide. And in just 2014 alone, we launched 8 new stores across the world, and not just launched storefronts that are localized, but actually recruited developers for each of these storefronts to write localized apps in the localized language and, of course, local currency, et cetera, as well. So the store will truly be a global offering. Why sell through the office store? Why not use the app catalog model? Well, you do get quite a bit of additional value-added services through the store. For one thing, you do get surface, as I mentioned before, in product. That's not true if you're doing a side deal and then loading it to the app catalog. You get services like catalog management, analytics in terms of how your apps are selling, who's buying them, what's the download rate. You get order fulfillment, and we manage the payments. We collect the credit card payments and take care of all that hassle for you. Also, we handle sales tax in most countries around the world, and we also let you do upgrades and provide license management. So essentially, it's an end-to-end service. It's not just a listing in a store. In terms of the licensing models available, you can do free, you can do trial. There are paid both perpetual as well as subscription. You can charge per seat, and you can include a cap. So say, for instance, after 20 seats, the price the monthly subscription would not go up. It would be capped at 20 users. So in effect, you can have a per user or a tiered price. And you can also charge at the site level for SharePoint or at the Exchange server level for mail apps. And for all of that, for all the services we provide, we take a 20% revenue share, which is better than most stores on the market. And that's really just to recover our costs. We by no means ever see the App Store as a profit center for us. It's really about the ecosystem. It's about you. It's about your ability to add value to the Office platform, which makes our product more valuable, but also, of course, makes it more useful for the customer. So here's some examples of places that you can surface applications, not just within the web store, which people can browse to or search online, but also within the product. And this is pretty valuable, we think. If you go to File New for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, you will see templates, which we've had templates in the Office Store for years, really, going back many generations. But we're now beginning to embed templates tied to apps so that people can begin to find your solution not only through the store, and maybe that app has a template attached, but also directly from the template, so they find it from the template to the app. And there's 26 million of these Office 2013 templates being downloaded every month, so it's a lot of traffic. So here we have, for example, the PayPal invoicing template, which lets you actually compile data, create an invoice in Excel, and then ship it off, collect money, track your invoices, actually be paid through this solution without ever leaving the Excel environment. We have a number of others as well in the store. Another place where we're providing visibility is within the Office ribbon. So again, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Project and Access have recently joined the story. You can do what's called insert an app. And if you have an app that's been you've used recently, you can see on the drop list there your most recently used apps, like PicHitMe or AP Stylebook. And if you want to get an additional app, you can go right into the store from that ribbon experience. What's new, which we really just announced in the last few weeks, is you can begin to do that now in the Office Online clients. Again, those are the free client that anybody in the world can access. And so in Excel Online is the first product to offer this, where you can insert an app right within the Excel Online experience. But look for more clients to be added to this story in the near future. So let's talk a bit about the store itself. I'm just going to show you some quick screenshots of what the store looks like and how it's organized. What we released in the fall was a complete refresh of the store with categories, better search experience, better reviews, new design, better looking icons. And now, for the first time, you can also acquire SharePoint apps and actually some of the apps for Office as well without having to sign in. And the reason we did that was because we want to enable our users to try applications. And so if the developer is certainly free to set in their app code that, no, I do want you to sign in even though it's a free version of this app because I want to track who you are and I want to be able to market to you, that's fine. But a number of people have expressed the desire to, hey, I want to try it out an app. I'm not signed into with my Microsoft account to the store. Can I just try an app if it's a free one? Now, if it's paid, of course, they will have to always sign in. So we continue to iterate on the store model. In terms of how the merchandising in the store works, you can browse by category or by product or both. You can do double filtering. We also now have the notion of editor's picks. When these are based on the quality of the app, and also we can do promotional campaigns for key partners. We have specific agreements with our developer platform evangelist team, et cetera. We also have the ability to dynamically show categories that are relevant to the search, the browse structure that you invoked. And on the top of the page right now, there's a marketing image carousel. We have a big plan to do a lot more with that surface area in the future. Don't have a lot to announce right now, but look for that to become a much more dynamic space for ISVs to market their solutions. In terms of the categories on the page, it's not a static page. Each time you hit page refresh, new categories will be assorted so that every time the visitor comes back to the store, they'll see something new. And there's a complex algorithm running behind the scenes that ranks which apps or which categories show, based on is it relevant to that language, to that storefront, to that office product, again, based on commitments we've made to our key partners, and also as a random variable to assume or to assure that there's a mix that continues to rotate as people refresh the page. And we can do also time-boxed promotions, and we'll talk about that in a second. Same with apps in a category. The apps can be, there is a dynamic rotation of which apps show up within a category, but we also can promote apps to the homepage based on the quality of the app and, again, commitments we have made promotionally with our key partners. So looking forward, some of the things we'd like to do with this new merchandising engine that we have on the store is to do theme-based campaigns. So for example, if we had back to school, we could bundle up, we already have education apps as a category, so we could create a bundle of education apps and have a back to school promotional campaign. And not just show that within the store environment, but also really light up our whole field selling programs as well. So the EDU team could do blog posts, we could have social media, and we could do bake educational specific demos to show out for sales presentations. So what can you build for the store? Again, if you're familiar with the Office app model, you may already know the different app shapes that prevail, but so we're gonna go through this very quickly. Essentially, apps for Office, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, etc. You have three different key types of apps. You have contextual pane apps, and these are really about mail apps, where it will actually look within the body of the email, and then it will light up that app. It'll suggest that app if it's relevant to the content. So, for example, if there's an address within that email and you've loaded the Bing Maps app, then it will actually ask, you know, it'll suggest, hey, do you want to map that address? If there's a FedEx shipping number in there, it will potentially show you the FedEx app.
And Jim, we should note for everybody that you know, this topic is not about the actual development of the app here, but we have lots and lots of other content on the Microsoft Virtual Academy where you can learn to develop SharePoint apps, you can learn to develop apps for Office and Office 365 applications. All that content is there. So if you're watching this and you're interested in the store and you need to go further to learn to do the development, please do some searching for Office 365 development, SharePoint, and apps for Office, and you'll find everything you need up there to learn to make these.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is not how to code. This is really about the merchandising and how to get your apps visible. The task pane apps run alongside your particular client, say Word, Excel, and we'll show that in just a second. And then there's also content apps where the actual, there'll be a chart or some kind of graphical interpretation of data within a Word or an Excel document that will actually show up within the body of the document and can travel with it if you send it to someone else. SharePoint also has three app shapes. Full page apps, pretty much what they say. They take up an entire page inside your SharePoint environment, and they have Chrome controls so that the look and feel of that full page app will resemble and map to the host SharePoint site that it's running on. There's also app parts, which can interact with a SharePoint experience. And then there's UI command extensions. These let you add new commands to the ribbon and to item menus. So looking ahead at store futures, what's coming down the road? There's a lot of things, some of which I can talk about at a general level now, some of which we'll have to wait for the formal announcements. But one thing that we definitely want to do is to bring up to parity Office running on other device types. So again, I mentioned the iOS, the Office for iOS edit capabilities, which is now a free offering. We want to have that same ribbon experience here, though, would be touch. So you're in the ribbon, you want to invoke an app you've already loaded into your iPad Excel experience. You can pull up your most recently used apps and actually launch it right within the touch experience in iPad. So that's something that's in progress. And then the big area where there's a future app type coming down the road is Office 365 apps. So again, at TechEd Europe, we announced this, the ability to register apps with Azure AD and have them show up at the Office 365 tenant level. Now, right now, they're not in the store. There's a bunch of engineering work being done to enable that. And we hope to be able to talk about that more in the near future, but that will really open up things for the Office story, the app story, as it is invoked in the store. So the 365 apps, they are surfaced within App Launcher so that you can easily access these apps from your nav bar in your Office 365 tenancy. You also have a My Apps page where you can pin your personal favorite apps and to find them much more quickly. You can pin and unpin apps, so it's a customizable experience in the App Launcher. And it's extensible, meaning that right now you can add enterprise apps, including line of business apps that you've built internally that are registered with Azure AD. And we also, again, very much plan to enable you to acquire these apps through the store experience as well. So right now, again, this is not so much about the store. This is about the 365 app story, which, again, the store hopes to join very soon. You can add apps from what's called the Azure Active Directory Gallery. They have over 2,400 apps that have been pre-registered, pre-federated with with Azure. And any of these can be loaded into your app launcher. And there's both federated and single sign-on apps within that Azure Gallery. You also can create new federated apps through OpenID. They also support SAML 2.0 authentication. And because every instance of Office 365 actually runs on Azure, again, it automatically will talk to these apps that are also registered with Azure AD. And the nice thing about Azure AD is it doesn't cost anything. So people can invoke this identity stack, this one component of Azure, which has many, many services on it, to register their apps and have them show up in the app launcher. What's coming for tomorrow? The next thing, again, as I said, is to be able to do this through the store. So you're in your app launcher. You may see, and we don't quite know what the experience will be yet. This is all just essentially conceptual in nature. You have a store button there. You click on the store, and up pops a version of the store, which is really showing, as you see there in the red, suite level apps over here. Essentially, this would be a store that would be a specially curated collection of applications that can register with Office 365. So you can acquire them through the store, load them. Again, the store will handle all the licensing, the common consent flow, and all that sort of thing. And it can then be used within the app launcher. So really, the Office 365 apps are going to greatly expand the story. Right now, the apps for Office Story is not only, but it's fairly predominantly focused on desktop types of solutions. With Office 365, the rich array of APIs that will open up, we'll now begin to build once and really deploy to multiple devices across your entire ecosystem, tablets, smartphones, et cetera. Because these really are mobile-friendly solutions. Finally, the Office market, Office 365. It really is a global business, 140 markets, 25 currencies, 43 languages. Office 365 is a $4 billion business. It's doubled in size year over year. I believe it's 18 quarters in a row now. We may be on our 19th, Scott. But in essence, Office 365 certainly is not the 1 billion users, but it's very rapidly becoming a very meaningful share of the Office story. And the Office app model, the thing that the store is really marketing, is really an Office 2013 and later story. And so every seat of Office 365 by definition is an Office 2013 or later story, as well as, of course, the on-premise client. But what we're really seeing, Scott, is an evolution of the addressable market for these apps from a fairly small percentage of the total number of people with Office worldwide to becoming a very meaningful percentage very rapidly, given the triple-digit growth year over year. So
yeah, I'm certainly seeing that in my day-to-day work, where you have a lot of organizations that were primarily on-premises versions of SharePoint and on-premises versions of Office are now at least creating some sort of hybrid environment where they may still have these investments that they've made in on-premises software, but they're using cloud-based software as well because they see the immediate advantage. I mean, if you have salespeople that are out on the road, you used to have to do a lot of jumping through hoops to be able to get them perhaps the documents that they needed to finish a sales call. And now all they have to do is, you know, go into Office 365, go into OneDrive for Business, any of those things where maybe they have a document that they need, where they need to check on the status of a client or what have you. And it's all just there. It's seamless. It doesn't require a lot of custom development. So I think that type of thing is really driving this revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we definitely expect the Office 365 story to become a big part of the app story for the store as well. So in terms of the user experience, I showed you Slideware around a lot of the things that the store can do, where it's surfaced, et cetera. And in the remaining time, I'd like to just quickly walk you through an actual example, a live demo of how the store works. So let's see. So this is the apps for office experience. As you can see, here are the product categories down the far left. So if I, for example, click Excel, it will now show Excel apps. And then if I also want to see data analytics, it will show me data analytics apps for Excel. So that's a very simple browse process.
And right away, you're struck by the number of apps that are available here. So this isn't just some skeleton apps that happen to be there. There's a pretty rich set already available to you for all the different products.
Yeah, and SharePoint, which again, that's kind of the hero application right now in the store. As you can see, 743 different apps in the store currently. And this is the US English site. There are additional applications for SharePoint in the Spanish store, the French store, the German store, et cetera, that may not be showing up here. Mm-hmm. So again, the total number of SharePoint apps is well over 800. If, for example, I then click on an individual icon, so I'm going to go to the DocuSign for a SharePoint Online site. This is a pretty well-regarded app. It has almost 5-star review.
In fact, we're going to take a look at that in one of the later modules.
We actually are.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have the ability to load different screenshots to market your app. Quite a bit of rich information. You can click here out to a video of the app to promote it on YouTube, in this example. You can provide all sorts of information around the version number, when it was released, what languages it's supported in, extensive text. And then we really require that the developer provide things like a privacy statement, a website where people can go to get more information. So we really try to essentially create an atmosphere of trust. In many cases, these ISVs are companies that maybe the customer hasn't necessarily heard of. And so we're trying to say, look, we're putting Microsoft's stamp of quality on this experience so that you know who this developer is, you know their privacy policy, you know they tell you what particular permissions that app will require when you install it so that you know what you're actually letting that app do in your environment. And then you can also read reviews to find out what other people think about the solution. So that's just an example of one of the apps in the store. If we go to Excel, I just wanted to show you quickly. Here is the My Apps experience. So I can now, in fact, there's a Excel, Dun & Bradstreet, and I can see all down here. If I want to acquire additional ones, I can click on the store icon and I'll be taken right into the store. That's also true of Word and PowerPoint, where I can use this ribbon experience. And as I mentioned, we also can now do it for, so here's the search results. So apps for Office, it comes up pretty high in the search results on the homepage. And so that if people are just looking for apps for Office, they can readily find it through a browse experience. And then as I mentioned, I'm going to go to office.com, which is one of the most visited websites in the world. You land here on this home experience, which is about the Office Online experience, which again are the free clients. And I open a session of Excel Online. And again, I can now insert apps for Office right here. So again, imagine hundreds of millions of people being able to access our 25-year leading applications through a free web browser experience and in being able to add apps to their experience. And what we are finding is a number of our sales teams are very excited about this because it really gives them a great story to tell in the field that, hey, there are a lot of knockoffs now of Office products, but here's one thing that they don't have. They don't have the extensibility of our solutions. And so if you do need an HR app or you need a charting app or some kind of invoicing solution, you don't have that ability to bolt on additional extensibility solutions from third parties. With the Office platform, you do, even in our free products. And so that's a pretty compelling story.
Yeah, I think it looks great.
So thanks. So that pretty much covers what I wanted to walk you through today. One thing I did forget to do is I did want to show you, if I go to File, New, there again are, there's a PayPal invoicing app, there is, where else do we have, the Dun & Bradstreet Business Verification template. These are both templates that are married to apps, such that if you invoke the template, it will launch the app, or it'll prompt you to install it and trust it. So there's another, it's a great discoverability play as well. There's the ribbon. Again, what's coming is the app launcher for the tenant. So we have essentially discoverability at the client level, at the site level for SharePoint, and now at the tenancy level. It's not yet in the store, but the Office 365 apps will be discoverable.
I think ISVs should definitely be excited about that document level because that means that someone can find your app in a way that's very natural to them without having to take a side tour through a store necessarily. I mean, that's the way we've all always gotten templates. If you're sitting down and you need to make something, you say, gee, I wonder if there's a template that exists for that already. So there it is, why wouldn't you click on it? So I think that's a really low friction way for ISVs to get their products to people.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. So that pretty much wraps up this module. What we're going to be having in the next session is a demo fest of some of the apps in the store, actually walk you through how they're acquired, installed, and used to give you a better sense of what the store experience is like. And we hope you've found this to be a useful session in terms of just providing you the high-level overview of why build apps for Office and why also consider the store among the options for building apps for Office.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. And what we always, again, conclude all these sessions with are additional places to go for more information. So our kind of beachhead place is dev.office.com. That's where you can get code samples. You can look, play. You can also get training, and you can also acquire a whole bunch of other resources around getting started, getting signed up for a dev tenancy to build on Office 365, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you have feedback, lots of places to give feedback as well. Stack Overflow, Office 365 Network, and user voice. So please don't hesitate to use all these resources. This video will be loaded, PowerPoint will be loaded on GitHub so that you can download this for all these different links. So that's it from here. Again, my name is Jim Epps and my colleague Scott.
Great, thanks Jim.